And we're here.
What's up with it?
Alexander the Curious George podcast.
Look who joined the...
What's up with it? Who that?
Oh.
What up? Nibbling on the soup.
So Devon, man,
what's goody? What up, man?
It's been a long time since I've seen you. You know, not really.
I saw you like last weekend.
Saw you last week,
but it's cool.
It's about time you hopped on an episode.
You already know, bro. Been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, time is now.
Now, me and you, we always have some pretty good conversations. Just in general.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Facts.
Where would you say you're at in life right now?
Well, honestly, I think right now, just kind of a place of... It's like... I don't want to say reinventing. I feel like reinventing is cut a little much, but you know, just rediscovering, bro. You know, just rediscovering a lot of things for myself, a lot of standards for myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think reevaluation is important. You know what I'm saying? Putting the mirror to your face kind of thing.
Always.
And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just all trying to improve, bro, because... so I was trying to improve at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's
improve at what, though?
Just everything, bro. I feel like sometimes we have really low standards, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to get caught up in, like, the mundane, like, cycles of life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've kind of, you know, if from, like, your routine, your daily routine of, like, I go to my job, I get off at this time, I go to the gym, then I go do this. It's real easy to forget the purpose, like, of the grind, and then get lost in that grind, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then your goals just kind of, like, get fuzzy, you know what I mean? So.
What kind of goals you got right now?
Honestly, man.
Small goals, big goals.
I think I'm gonna slide back in school next year, but right now, we're not just trying to improve, you know, for those that don't know, you know, I crump, you know what I'm saying? So
yes,
just trying to improve, the dance community I'm currently in, not just improving dancers, but improving people, you know what I'm saying? I feel like dance is a good tool to, actually influence people's livelihood and thought process. So, that's a goal for me, like I said, really right now is just to grow all the time. But I just want to prepare myself for what's to come. I don't want to ever get comfortable with, I don't want to get comfortable with small victories. I like to appreciate small victories, but I don't want to get comfortable with them. And definitely want to use whatever ability I do have to improve others around me as well, not just myself. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the biggest thing I've been trying to tap into, is like living for not just like me, you know what I'm saying? Like living for others. Not living for others, but living to help improve others rather, as well as myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the journey I'm on right now, is how do I be more effective? How do I be more effective with other people? You know what I'm saying? Not just, you know, staying in my own lane. Because I could easily just stay in my own lane. I'm that kind of person.
Right.
But...
What is your lane? Well, how would you describe your lane?
My lane, bro?
Yeah.
Man, I don't like to use the word introvert. I don't feel like I am an introvert. I feel like I do appreciate, like, my time. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the time I can have to myself where I can reflect. I can, you know, think about different things. And I personally like holding the mirror up to myself. A lot of people don't like that, but I like it because it's just like there's always something to grow from.
Mm-hmm.
So my lane, honestly, bro, my lane is self-reflection, growth, and how that can benefit the people around me. Because I want to improve the quality of the friendships and relationships I do have. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I'm going to establish new friendships or new relationships, I want those to be quality as well. Because right. There has to be like a ebb and flow with like relationships. And you got to, I think people are afraid to not categorize, but I think people are afraid to really determine for themselves like what kind of relationship they have with the individuals that are in their life. People are afraid to like lose people or afraid to like have those confrontational conversations where you have to really like get to the nitty gritty with people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So that's my lane always. I'm always trying to find quality, like whether that's in myself, you know what I'm saying, and improving it and making myself better, you know what I'm saying? The relationships I currently have, how do I do better? You know, how do I make a better effort to maintain the quality of those relationships? And then for new relationships that come along, I need to be honest with myself and realistic with myself about the individuals that are, you know, coming into my circle. That way, I can, ahead of time, you know, be wise about it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, like, putting a best friend label on someone that's really just an acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or putting this is a good friend of mine on someone that's really, like, where it's a really one-sided relationship, where you're placing way more into the relationship than it's being reciprocated. Now, in certain relationships, that makes sense. As an acquaintance, you don't expect somebody to reciprocate what you're putting into it, because you're an acquaintance.
Yeah.
But if you're talking like a best friend or like a good friend,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't even say that about family, unfortunately, but it's like these labels, man, people throw these labels around without really like taking into account what that means to them. So it's like you need to find out what like friendship means to you on those different levels before you throw these labels around, because then you set yourself up for disappointment.
Facts. Oh, man. I think it's always a good topic of discussion, the friendships that people have. You know, how people talk about, show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah.
People are afraid to assess their circle, though. Uh-huh. Every year.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always reassessing it, but, like, mm-hmm. every year when, like, my birthday passes or something like that, I really, like, sit back and do a big, big, big evaluation of, like, yo, what I do this past year that was just, like, unwise? Because I know I probably made some decision that just was, like, maybe emotionally driven or, like, you know what I'm saying? Or even selfish. Like, I think people are afraid to, like, say those things about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was selfish in this or, you know, I wasn't being considerate in this at all. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to, like, check myself a lot of times.
Because
mm-hmm. it's a thin line. It's a thin line. Because I'm a confrontational person, too. You know what I'm saying? Like there is a such thing as healthy confrontation, and I don't mind engaging in that, but I don't feel like that's everybody's cup of tea. So sometimes I really have to evaluate, yo, did I like come with this person crazy,
mm-mm.
or did I just like was I being straightforward with this person, and they were not in a position to be able to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So people are afraid to evaluate those moments. You know what I'm saying? Or evaluate their circles, or evaluate their family.
Right.
And confront these issues. People will talk about this stuff all the time, like behind closed doors, but as soon as it comes to like, oh, I have to approach that person, then they get the cold feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, but that also shows your approach in life as well.
Uh-huh.
Like the way that you approach your relationship shows how you approach life. Mm. And I feel like it's easy to be sick. That's like why you have like these people that are super successful, like millionaires, billionaires,
yeah.
that commit suicide. That doesn't add up, right? Because it's like you should have everything accessible to you. Why would you kill yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know how to like, they don't know how to engage with people, or people, people haven't learned how to engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've always, so it's kind of like a twofold situation. It's kind of on the person that has everything, quote unquote, because they have found sanctuary in what they have, not who they have.
And what they have.
But in what they have.
Yeah, the material.
And if you find sanctuary in what you have, it's dangerous. Because that could be gone tomorrow. A tornado could come and take everything out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The banks and the economy could go to waste, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you have? Ultimately, it's like, who do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And if all you have is yourself, then it's kind of like, okay, well, which is why also, like, having a belief outside of people is important, because people will fail you.
Yes.
And if you expect people to always, even, like, when you get married, even, like, in relationships, like, you know, romantic relationships, or even in friendships, even in best friendships or whatever, like, people gonna fail you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
People can be fickle. They got emotions, and sometimes they let their emotions dictate their decisions, which can have long-term effects. You know what I mean? But it's like, you'll never really know, like, unless you reevaluate.
How did you learn, I mean, your methods of confrontation, or just, you know, your approaches in relationship? How did you even...
Bro, honestly, growing up, you would have thought I was mute, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, I had a rough childhood. I went through, like, traumatic things that put me in a position where opening up or sharing my real self was dangerous, for me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It felt dangerous.
Yeah.
It felt like people wouldn't understand it. It would be misunderstood and not accepted. But nobody wants to open themselves up or be vulnerable and then not be accepted. That's why a lot of people don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You get, like, this facade of who people are a lot of times. Because a lot of times they're either afraid of themselves or they're afraid of what other people would think of them. So I feel like for me, I had to get to a place where I didn't really care about that. I mean, that took a long time, honestly. But once I understood for myself, like, yo, like, no one's gonna speak for me, you know what I'm saying? If I get treated unfairly in this situation, you know, you gotta pick your battles too. Mm-hmm. And I learned that along the way. Because I feel like I went to the extreme of, like, when I got out of that rut of kind of, like, being so internal with everything, then I kind of went to extreme, and I was just, like, ready to confront whoever. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that would come across very brash. Like, when I first got to that point in my life where I was like, I'm going to start confronting things, I was very brash about it.
Uh-huh.
Very, like, insensitive.
Ooh.
Which, there's a level of sensitivity I feel like you need to have when you are addressing someone. You need to be aware of those people. However, you should not withhold the truth either.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the truth offends. And people,
yes,
people who don't have discipline over their emotions may react emotionally to the truth.
Very.
But they're also not used to being confronted with the truth.
Yeah.
A lot of people in today's society are not used to being confronted with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story, like, on the way to the airport to get here, actually.
Oh, you flew?
I can't remember last time I, like, popped off on somebody, like, openly, like, right? We're driving to the airport, and for some reason in Utah, people just don't like to signal. I feel like that's everywhere to some degree, but in Utah, it's just like...
Yeah, I heard Utah drivers...
They don't like to signal, and then they like to honk at you, you know? So we're on this... we're getting on this off-ramp, and there's a gentleman in front of me. The lane that I was in merges. It merges to the right, to turn to the... to make a right turn. This gentleman that was in front of me, like, does not use their blinker, right, and comes over. And I'm driving slow enough to where had to use his blinker, you know, I definitely would have had time to, like, you know, stop. You're good. My man's, like, is in front of me now. Keep this in mind. In front of me, almost swerves into me. I'm chilling, though. He starts honking his horn, just blasting his horn. I was like, oh, that's what we're doing. Because people get really brave in cars for some reason. So I drive him on the side of him, and I was like, what's up, bro? Like, you good? You know? And he has there's a pretty, you know, young lady, you know what I'm saying,
okay,
in the seat. And I don't know if he had the kids in the back or what. But I was like, oh, you about to show up for your lady friend.
Uh-huh.
So he starts like, da, 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 like, I had my blinker on, bro. And I was like, bro, no, you didn't. I was like, we could really pull over to the Maverick right now and get it popping. Now, I'm not usually a fighter like that, but bro, he just gets under my skin. I was like, bro, there's a Maverick right here, bro. It's a gas station right here. Like, we could pull over. And he's like, oh, you're acting tough. I was like, no. I was like, I really mean this. Like, I feel like people, and it's not even to glorify, like, that I was ready to, like, throw hands with him. Because that's just not my nature usually. But it's the fact that I don't think he expected to be confronted. Because, like, oh, I'm in a car, I'm on a freeway, da, 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 da. Like, my entitlement. Like, nah, bro, you did not use your blinker. Like, why are you honking your horn at me who's behind you when you didn't use your blinker? I was like, and I got my bro with me in the car that's telling you didn't have your blinker on. But yet you're
so you weren't alone in the car.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
But yet you're so like gripped onto like your entitlement and your, I don't know if your lady friend influenced that. But like the only reason I stopped talking to him is because like I was like, it looks like he has kids in the car. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't think people are used to being confronted. And that's a little more like on the extreme side. But like even just like if you went behind my back and did something, right? Like a lot of people aren't going to confront that. They're just going to act like nothing happened. It's like, nah, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like while you're sitting here festering on this like situation, getting more mad and talking about this person behind their back. But to me, that's cowardly.
Right.
And I think I got to a point in my mind where I was like, yo, it's cowardly of me. It's like me talking about somebody behind their back and not have the balls to confront them.
Yes.
And I think that's what changed a lot of like my thought process. Like if I'm not willing to confront this person, then I probably should just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
And not be petty.
And not have, like, what am I talking about? You know?
I think because it's fight or flight, right?
Yeah.
You know? So.
I mean, yeah.
It is, man. I mean, through psychology, we either run from our problems or we fight our problems.
That's facts.
So.
I think they need to make a new category, though, because there's picking your battles, too. Yeah. And being wise. Some things don't need that kind of confrontation.
Exactly. If
it's not worth the energy.
No. I mean, what if you have, like, if he was by himself and he had, like, a gun, you know what I'm saying? You know?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And he was a hot-headed truck driver or something.
Exactly. That could have went a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But when I pulled up, that's why I pulled up and assessed the situation.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you got a lady in here. You're like, you're not.
And he had kids in the back, so.
And we're in Utah.
Right.
So you're just trying to, like, puff your chest up right now. You're projecting that on me. Because he was like, you're just trying to be tough. And I was like, no, like, I really mean everything I'm saying. We could really pull over to this Maverick. I will really not let you get out the car. And I will run up on you quick and just hit you with the whoop whoops real quick to let you know I'm not playing. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, even after, because I'm not really like that either.
Uh-huh.
But I do mean what I say. And so I got to the point where even when I stopped, I was just like, it's weird because I have this habit of apologizing when I get like that. Because I'm not like that, really.
Yeah.
So I was apologizing to my friend. I was like, bro, I'm sorry. Like,
it almost felt
I didn't really need to, like, say anything. But I feel like situations like that had happened to me frequently within Utah. Like, same kind of scenario. And that was just the dude that got it.
Oh, so it was built up that, like,
yeah, bro, it happened a couple times in Utah where people have, like, honked. And just, like, been way over the top with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just that dude. I'm like, people really get brave behind these cars. You don't know who's in them.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if I was really with it, had a grenade in here, bro, and just didn't care if I went to jail?
You just never know.
Ching, ching, ching. Yeah. Boom. Like, you know, that's your whole family, though. And now I don't wish death on nobody. I'm just saying, like.
Emotions get.
Like, bro, you don't know. Like, you should be a little more mindful of your decisions before you try to put the blame of your decision on somebody else. And that touches on another topic of people, like, expecting you to be responsible for their emotional responses. Like, no, bro. Like, I will not take responsibility for your emotions. When I definitely didn't invoke that response from you.
Right. I mean, you were behind him.
What's behind you, bro?
Yeah. So that should have never started. That should have never been a thing.
But it wasn't just like, he honked that drum. He was like, bee! I'm like, bro.
Oh my
God. You're trying to show out. And then when I pulled up on the car and I seen, I was like, oh, you're just trying to show out. That's why you're telling me I'm trying to be tough. It's like, I'm really not, I would really pull over. I really will actually pull over to the Maverick. But I'm on my way to catch a flight. Which is probably the good Lord looking out for me. Because I was really ready to pull over. Like, I was really ready to pull over. But I wouldn't have made it. I probably wouldn't have made my flight.
This was right before you came in.
Right before, bro. Like, on the way to the airport, literally.
That's funny.
Pulling off the exit. About to pull off the exit to go towards the airport. But, yeah. All that to say, bro, like, people really, a lot of times, want to make you responsible for their emotions. It's like, nah. It's not how this goes.
Mm.
nothing wrong with having emotions. We all have them.
Yeah.
But get them things under control. Like, learn to discipline those joints. Mm-hmm. Because that could get you smacked out here. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Nah. People are unpredictable. Life is unpredictable.
All these, like, school shootings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from these kids. That comes from these parents that don't know how to be... That comes from these parents, bro, that don't...
Discipline
their kids, or give their kids discipline, or help them discipline their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go in here thinking they got to bully little Johnny in the corner, and little Johnny just gets fed up, and he has a bad home life too. So little Johnny just goes and finds the pistol, mm-hmm. or the machine gun, or whatever,
yeesh.
And it goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's like parents have to realize all these decisions too. They trickle down, like, you know what I mean. All this stuff trickles down. And if somebody doesn't break those cycles repeat. That's why you have super sensitive America now, bro. You can't say nothing without people getting sensitive.
Nowadays.
Social media, in person, it don't matter. You don't agree with somebody? What? They're outraged that you don't agree with them. It's like, yeah, I don't agree with you. I'm a totally different person than you. And no, I don't agree with you. You know, people can't take anything, bro. People are sensitive these days. Look at everything, bro. Literally.
Why do you think that is?
I think over time, every, like, with obviously the growth of social media, right? People's opinion is at the click of a button.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If I feel a certain way, in that moment, I can post it. In that moment, boom. There it is for everybody to read. That's on my friends list, right?
Mm.
And I feel like that, without people realizing it, has created a automatic response, bro. Like, that's why I said, like, people do impulsive things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm mad at, like, little Johnny in the corner, same example, like, little Johnny in the corner has been getting bullied, you know what I'm saying, for a year, you know what I'm saying? He's just in middle school, hitting puberty, all this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And then little Johnny's just one day like, you know what? F that bully.
Right.
It was only one person, but now all these people are caught in the crossfire of a decision, an impulsive decision, emotional decision that was made and built up because of one person's decision to bully them. However, you can't solely blame the kid sometimes, because then it's the parents.
Mm-hmm.
What checks did the parents put in place? So I think that, like I said, over time, it has trickled down, and now you have like the millennials that are, you know, pretty much coming up versus the baby boomers, right? So you have the millennials coming up. And not every millennial in the world, obviously, but a lot of them are. It's so easy to be opinionated, and it's so easy to post your opinion, and it's so easy to go on YouTube and start a channel and get popular off of your opinion.
Mm.
So people's opinion has become so powerful to them,
mm-hmm.
that they think it's the truth.
I see.
And it gets validated by people online who are just as emotional as them.
Mm-hmm.
So then they think that that's normal. It's like, no, it's not normal. For you to be led by your emotions is not normal. No. Oh, I can just walk in and shoot somebody because I'm mad? No, you idiot. You're still going to jail. Like, unless you're white, you might get away with it.
Oh, that's a whole topic in its own right there. For sure. I mean, it's interesting because I just feel like, I think people have always been sensitive, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's sensitive. Everybody has their own
sensitivity. Yeah.
It's just right now with internet, with social media, everything being broadcasted now, mm-hmm. it's just heightened.
Very much so.
So it's just...
It's okay to, like, be sensitive to things, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But when you're, like... It's almost like hypersensitivity. Like, when mm-hmm. almost everything you do is an emotional decision, and uh-huh. you think everything...
Is offensive?
You think everything is after you, or everyone's after you, like...
Yeah.
You take offense to everything. It's like, yo... You're not that important, my guy.
Oh my gosh.
Like, people be really thinking, not that, like, people don't have value, you know what I'm saying, but I'm just
right.
like, sometimes people be really thinking they're a lot more important than they are.
Than anybody else.
Because they're emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I was about to get into another topic, but sheesh.
You holding off?
I don't know. I might touch on it in a second.
Okay.
But I feel like it has a lot to do with it. And I feel like, actually, no, I'll segue into it.
Okay.
I feel like that's what has led to mental illness becoming a hot topic and a crutch for a lot of people. A lot of people will use mental illness as a way to not deal with
the problems.
The problems. I'm not saying that there aren't people that have these
actual mental illnesses,
but I feel like a lot of people have used it
as an excuse.
As a, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To champion their emotional impulsive responses. So now it's okay because I have this. Like, no, it's not actually. It's still not okay that you walked in there and shot that person because you have a mental illness.
Yeah.
And I think there's a thin line, but I also think you still have to hold people accountable. And a lot of people don't want to be held accountable either.
Yes.
Because it's their life. That's what I mean. Like, when people are... When you're living simply for self, it's really easy to live that way. When you're thinking of other people and how those decisions affect other people, you kind of get a different, you gain a different perspective on life, and then you kind of, it just changes a lot of thought process, or it can change a lot of thought processes. It should.
I think taking accountability is huge with just a person's own self, like worth and their own self-esteem. Self-esteem is just so huge. I mean, my whole, ever since I learned about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs since I was in school, I knew that's something I wanted to accomplish.
What's that?
The Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So at the very base level, your primal level of physiological needs, food, shelter, water, sex, right? And then above that is self-esteem and self-acceptance. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's just a pyramid. And at the very top, it's self-actualization.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's a very small piece. It's the smallest part, but it's at the very top. You know, that's what we should all try to... Like he says, psychologically, what we tend to... In terms of maturity, that's how we go towards, is that we have our physiological, and then we have our self-esteem and self-acceptance. You know, our love and companionship.
It's interesting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that. So is love and companionship the smallest part on the top? What's the smallest part you said?
The smallest part at the very top, self-actualization. It's that small little...
So that is that... Would that be considered like... like reality? Like the reality of what's going on? Is that kind of what that self-actualization is?
You know, I think... I mean... Personally, from what I remember, it's just like you know yourself wholeheartedly, you know?
I think that's reality.
Yeah, so it's just...
Because I feel like people... That's a good... It's interesting that's at the top. Because one thing I've said to a lot of people around me, it's like, you do realize that just because you feel a certain way about something does not mean that's the reality of what it actually is, or that you're right.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel a way about something, and you're totally okay to have those feelings. But you also need to take a step back and ask yourself if that's the reality. I think that kind of ties into what we were talking about people being sensitive. It's like, you getting mad about something or whatever could very well be an assumption. Unless whatever has happened is very blatant as far as the evidence is right there, you know. But a lot of times we take things... and we apply emotion to them, and we apply a conclusion to that assumption that we've made, and then it's like, oh, well, that's the reality. It's like, how is it the reality? Because you feel that way?
Because you feel that way.
You know, like, it doesn't become reality because you feel a certain way. It becomes reality because it's reality, and that's the truth, which is another topic. Like, people don't, you know, people, and I would probably get a lot of backlash from saying this even, but like, people say, well, I want to walk in my truth. Okay. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. You want to walk in your truth. Okay. Cool. So, if my truth is that I'm mad today because yesterday, I couldn't get the lunch I wanted yesterday. So now I'm mad at everyone at work. So I wake up, I go into work and just shoot 20 people. my truth was that I was mad. The reality is that I'm going to go to jail for a really long time because I just killed 20 people, regardless of how I feel. You know, if I was in Texas, I'd probably get the death penalty. So the truth is that I killed 20 people. My truth is, oh, I'm mad. It doesn't matter what your truth is. The reality is the truth. So it's like, people have to understand that, like, there is definitely, but no one wants to say there's an absolute when it comes to the truth. And it's like, there is. You have truth and you have not truth. Like, it's, you have true and not true. There's really no, like, middle ground. It's true and not true. You can have a certain perspective or truth or opinion, but, like, what's the truth? Even, like, people that go through traumatic things, like, a lot of times, like, let's say, like if a woman, goes through, like, a traumatic experience of, like, something really heinous, like, I'll make it real extreme. Like, so let's say they go through something like a rape, right? Say they go through something like that, which just could be traumatic emotionally, physically, and all sorts of levels, right? You know, the truth is that happened to them. Like, that's the truth. There doesn't have to be, like, oh, my truth. And, oh, the guy, well, the guy's like, oh, well, I went through something as a kid, too. Well, you still shouldn't have did it. Like, you still shouldn't have did it to them. The truth is you did it. The truth is this happened. It doesn't, like, the perspectives can be the perspectives, and they can come and stem from different places, but the truth is still this. You know what I mean? And I feel like people are afraid to acknowledge the truth, so they've created this sidebar of, like, my truth. Which is really just your perspective. Doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
Like, certain things may have happened to you, yes, to get to this point, yes, but what is true now? What makes this is true?
Yeah.
And both these things led to this, which is true. The truth.
Kind of like how they say there's two sides to every story, but in the middle is the actual truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a perspective, you can have a side, but there is a truth. The truth.
What actually happened.
But. I think it's mad simple. I just think that because we have so many, you have so many, like, great minds in the world, and you have, you know, and because, like I said, the internet gives people such a unprecedented power that they feel like they have, you know what I'm saying? Or, like I said, it's so easy to get a following off of, like, certain things, or your opinion, or your perspective, then it makes it really easy to create these narratives of, like, oh, this is their truth, and this is their truth, and this is their truth, and this is their truth, because people don't want to really, like, come to this place where, like, there actually is an absolute truth in a situation, or in life, or whatever. There are many the thought processes, there are many paths to this, and there's a lot of different, like I said, there's a lot of different perspectives, and there's nothing wrong with having perspective, you know, or learning lessons differently than the person to the left and right of you. However, there is a moment where you have to look at the reality of, like, what's true, and if you never get to that place, then you could live this whole life. You could live your whole life and, you know, be successful, like, have, you know, kids, a wife, a white picket fence with 6 cars and all that. You could have all that stuff. But will you have lived a purposeful life? Just living in your own perspective. Did you ever really get to the truth? Just like you said, all those, like, your primal needs, you know, the physical needs, basically, right? That sustain the body versus, like, the internal, the spiritual, the mental, like, all these different things that bring you to a point, or should hopefully bring you to a point of self-actualization or self-realization.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't ever get to that. Because that to me is a purposeful life.
Yeah.
That to me is, like, a purposeful life of where you... But that to me is a purposeful life where you get to the point where you realize, oh, this is bigger than me and my my basic needs on the lowest level of the pyramid, so to speak. Because once you get to the point where you're like, yo, this life is way bigger than me, then you're thinking about, oh, I want to raise good children because I don't want my children to go in and bully little Johnny in the corner because he has glasses and plays Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever, and has acne on his face. I want my kid to have a higher understanding of value of people so that they don't get swept into the system, pretty much, of public school where it's like the strong survive. I don't think people even realize that over time we've been programmed that way in school. When you're in elementary school, if you're not cool, you don't get to hang out with the cool kids. You get made fun of. If you're a nerd, you're classified as a nerd. If you're popular, you're classified as popular. You're a band geek, you're classified as a band geek. You're a jock, you're classified as a jock. Like, you're a cheerleader, you're classified as, you know, that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we even realize that we've been, like, tricked into a system since we were children. We've been taught to, like, stick to our groups and survive. And be followers.
Ah, interesting. Well, I mean, yeah. If you think about the education system, we are, we're following their system.
You're following what people tell you you need to be successful.
To be successful.
Or at least what the...
what they want
to what see. The idea of success that is put on you looks like.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, financial stability, you know, the wife, the kid, the good job, the financial freedom, you know. Which is not bad, but it's the bottom of the pyramid. That's not even like what life's about.
Nah.
If you just give your if you if all you left your kids was the bottom level of the pyramid, what kind of people would they be? Some real shallow people.
Yeah, exactly.
They got money. Yeah, everything's accessible to you on an earthly level. But that doesn't mean the motives you have for anything are good motives. That doesn't mean that, like, you're reevaluating your intentions in life. Doesn't mean any of that, because you're waking up every day like, success. Feels good. Like, I'm gonna go to Aruba today because I can. Like, congrats. Like, but yeah, so I feel like a lot of the problems in the world could be solved by a lot of the, I won't say 100% solved, but I feel like a lot of the problems in the world could be, great dents could be put in them by the people that are not living, that are living on that base level. But are rich, or are very influential, or whatever the case is. But they're not trying to get to that point where self-realization, wow, I have an Instagram with 4.9 million followers. Maybe, just maybe, I should motivate people to live above just the base level and inspire people to do so. Let people also know that while education is not a bad thing, that degree does not define them. The piece of paper itself does not define who you are as a person. It's just a trophy. It's a trophy of discipline. But nowadays you get trophies for participating.
Which is whack.
You get a trophy for being on the team.
Oh man.
It's like, and that is a big part, like I said, of why we have what we have now.
Yeah.
Because just for participating, you should be valued. Just for participating, you should get. It's like, no, like, some of these people are working really hard day in and day out. You know, eating a certain diet, working on their bodies. You know what I'm saying? Drilling, putting a lot into this. So why should you get a participation trophy and them not be honored for their hard work? Like, nah. That's why, like I said, a degree is a good thing. Some people cheat and get degrees. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like a degree itself or accolades themselves do not define the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
What kind of things define the individual for you?
For me, I mean, I think I feel like the character of the person is really important. I haven't always been someone, and I still work on this today, I haven't always been someone with perfect character, you know what I'm saying? I've been put in certain positions, whether it was like leadership or whatever, where I didn't have the character to maintain those things. I feel like you could have, like I said, you could have all the outward appearance of this or that, but it doesn't matter. Like the low, like I said, at the lowest level, it's really shallow, you know what I mean? Like you could pay somebody off, you could do all these different things. You could kind of avoid the mirror, you know what I mean? When you have all these things surrounding you that can like cover those things, you avoid the mirror, or you can avoid the mirror. You know what I mean? And I feel like the mirror defines you. The mirror is what it is. Like when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you evaluate yourself, like are you living for more than yourself? One. That's like number one for me. Like, am I living for more than myself? Are the things that I do, whether it's teach a class, whether it's, you know, like, even this money that I'm making, or, you know what I mean, like, the education I'm pursuing, is it just going to be for me? Not saying that, like, there aren't things you shouldn't want to achieve for yourself, but in the end, you should want to know what the purpose or the impact of that is. Like, if I'm a doctor, or if I go to school for all that time to be a doctor, I would hope that I actually care about people. Or what was the point of me going to school for 8-10 years?
Yeah.
I would hope I actually cared about people, and I wasn't just doing it for the money.
The money. That's the care, ready?
Like, if I'm just solely doing this for financial stability, I'm living on the first level. I'm going to have the money, I'm going to have all these things. Yeah, and I went to school for it, and it was hard. So I went through all those hard things just to have money. Like, hey, that's crazy. It's almost like you sold out in a way in that instance. It's like, yeah, you went to school, you did all the things to get to this point, but you don't even really, but the purpose was not what it's really like. Being a doctor is supposed to be about the people.
Yeah. Because that's what you're treating.
Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's what really defines people to me, is the purpose. I don't care that you got 7 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with them? Like, what's your purpose?
Mm.
I don't freaking care. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think purpose is what really defines you. A purpose, why they're living. Not just, like, what they have. Or who they're close to, or it's like, well, why? Like, you know, like if you're not living for yourself, you're living an empty. If you're only living for self, you're living a very empty life, no matter how much you have.
Right. Wow.
Do you feel me?
Oh yeah. Completely.
I'm gonna eat some cabbage on that.
I mean, I can't help but think of just like how. I mean, you're well spoken, obviously. I mean, obviously you think about this type of stuff, you know, over and over and over again. I just, you know, I meet people and they don't even talk like self actualization or just like self.
No self awareness, bro.
Self awareness, no self realization. Like, that's not even in the realms of their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with people even, like, it's one to have it with yourself. But even with other people, like their peers, you know?
It's like having it with yourself is hard.
Yeah.
I think that's why that's why it's hard for a lot of people to even like have it with other people. Because they can't even have it with themselves.
Yes.
One thing I always tell like friends of mine, people that are close to me, is like, if you can't, and I use Crump and Dance a lot to like teach about life because I feel like they coincide, but it's like, if you cannot like really like reflect on yourself, if you really can't be like, that was wrong, or I see how that was wrong, if you really can't, like, really put the, like I said, put the mirror to yourself, mm-hmm. it's going to be very, very hard for you, and be transparent with yourself. It's going to be very hard for you to ever be transparent with someone else. Because you can't even, for yourself, realize something is wrong or something is incorrect. You'll always be entitled. You'll always be living in your truth, not the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a spouse, right, if you're married, or even in a relationship, you know.
Right.
And one side, you know, the, you know, your woman or, you know, man, whatever, you know, you are at that point, and you say, you know, well, I felt this way about this, right? Mm-hmm. And the other individual says, well, I felt this way about this. Now, you both felt a different way, which is okay. Mm-hmm. What is the truth, though? Now, getting to the truth is going to take both of you looking at yourself
mm-hmm.
and saying, well, I felt this way, and this is why I felt this way. And so, and on the other side, okay, I felt this way, and this is why I felt this way. Okay. So now we're getting past the, just the emotions. Now it's like, now we've got past the emotions, and we're getting to the why. Now let's find the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. even though you felt this way, that was not where I was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But even though that was not where I was coming from, I'm going to apologize and tell you that I'm sorry that the way that I came off brought you to that point. That's not where I was intending to bring you. But this is the truth of the matter. Boom. It takes two people to actually be able to look at themselves, humble themselves, to get to that point. The battery off. People was waving. You weren't even waving, bro. They ain't gonna see the waves, but just wave back anyway. Damn, you had some people in here, bro. Do I know any of them? Who in there? Shout them out, bro. Say our thank yous.
Yeah, I need to make my way back to this. Yeah, you do, bro. Max, what's up, Max? Michael, what's up, Michael? That he low-key looks like Will Smith.
Oh, hey, I'll take that, bro. Hey. High key.
George. 4A says what's up.
Yeah, yo.
Bridge, Brianna says what's up. Delaney was on here for a quick second.
All the shout outs.
George Nelson, so George.
Tight.
I'm signing off.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
well, we still got the podcast running right here.
So, see, man, we could wrap it up. We, you know what I'm saying? We keep it going. I think we've had a wholesome combo. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. But there's just so much to talk about. So much curiosity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was on the verge of becoming a, you know, a possible financial advisor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have this whole, like, they have their whole culture to them,
mm-hmm.
and this whole vibe that they put off, and it's great, you know, because they're very, the books that they read, and the kind of motivational stuff that they do every day, and
mm-hmm.
the stuff in their chat, it's like, it's very inspiring stuff, and it's stuff that, you know, keep you motivated and stuff, but it's like, I don't know. Something just felt so ungrounded mm-hmm. about it in a way. I don't know. It just felt like a facade that mm-hmm. lots of people were trying to put up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I was sensing, is that people were putting up this, you know, facade of stuff, trying to because they want more out of life, mm-hmm. which is understandable. I mean, you're in this...
but what part of life? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, they want more out of life, but is it, like, kind of like you were talking about that pyramid, is it, like, that's the lowest level, bro. You're just trying... You're, not that it's wrong to be a financial advisor and help people, like, get to, you know, these financial goals, but it's, like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to get to the... Is it just because you just want to have the Bentley? Like, you just want to have the Bentley to say you have the Bentley? Mm-hmm. Like, that's which is... look, hey, if that's somebody's goal, more power to them. But, like, I just can't, like... I just can't, like, function that way. Like, I don't want to just have the Bentley to have the Bentley.
Yeah.
And say I have the Bentley. If I could give a Bentley away, that would be super tight. And you know, but think about how much a Bentley costs, right?
You're right.
If I could give that money to other people or invest that money in other things that are purposeful, you know what I'm saying? Why would I not? I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
That ain't everybody, so...
No, it's not. And that's the thing about... That's why we're friends. I mean, I feel like you enjoy the process of things more than the result.
I mean, like...
Most of the time.
What's the point of the result? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, think about it. I mean, think like, the way business people work, you know, and people in analytics, they in practical, you know, corporate, whatever. Just business in general. They love to focus on results.
Right.
The results oriented.
Right.
Not process oriented. Creative people are process oriented. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's why I guess a lot of people, creative people struggle with money.
That is true though.
You know
that
what I'm saying? That is true though. They don't. Yeah.
I think with that too, it's actually, I mean, that's a good point. I think creatives though have to realize too that a lot of these, you know, businesses or individuals that are super successful have multiple streams of income. And I think as an artist, you have to, or as a creative rather, not only do you have to present a product that is good quality wise.
Yeah.
You also have to. There's a process for that. There's training and different things like that. You know, as a dancer, right? Like, my goal personally isn't like to be the best dancer in the world or anything like that. But like, I want to be great at my craft.
Yeah.
That takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna package myself as this amazing. I'm this amazing. Like dancer and package myself like that to other people if I know I don't put in the work to do so. And I feel like some creatives will place a higher value on themselves before that time comes. But also, I don't think a lot of creatives sit down and evaluate, like, okay, what are other, like, lanes that I could hop in, you know, or use this particular gift for as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's, like, the challenge is, like, because you want to obviously, because you have a lot of creatives that are like, oh, bro, like, just, you know, live in your car and do it all. And it's like, you don't have to do that. Like, I'm not saying that people have not come from those stories and been successful, but it's like, why just be a dancer? Now, if you're only desirous to dance and travel and do all that stuff, like, yeah, okay, be a dancer, but add some other things that naturally flow from you, too, that could create and generate wealth for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm a dancer, but I think I'd be a heck of a motivational speaker or a philanthropist. Or,
oh, big time.
Like, how do you get into that, too? You know what I'm saying? But let's just say hypothetically that's what I wanted to do. It's like, well, then you have to study these type of individuals. You know what I'm saying? You have to maybe be more outspoken. You know, you have to maybe do something like a podcast or create your own podcast or create a YouTube. And maybe people won't look at you at first, but then you have to, you know, you have to get into certain circles and stuff like that. But then you have some creatives that will not stay true to themselves too, and they'll sell out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have different types of creatives, and I think that that's why you have even the money struggle. It's just like because of what certain creatives value. They'll just put their money here, just put their money there, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So just kind of. And because they get sold dreams, they end up selling themselves short for some of these dreams that people sell them or these companies that sell them. You know what I mean? So instead of really training themselves, going hard, training themselves to then put themselves in a position where they can make sure they put a proper value on what they do and not back down from it. Yeah. But they put themselves in a position where they can negotiate now. And they're not dying inside if somebody walks away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely think, like, you know, creatives who have put the work and time into themselves, they should find, you know, unless they're just so fire at what they do in that one lane that it takes care of everything, I feel like they should look at other ways too, you know, invest in the stock market. Like, if you're making hella money, why not invest in the stock market? You know what I'm saying?
That, real estate?
That's money that's always going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking the other day, I was like, if you saved $1,000 a month, right? It's 12 grand at the end of the year. What if you invested that same $1,000 into, like, stocks?
Yeah, and watch it grow.
You know what I'm saying? Versus, like, getting 1% in a savings account.
You don't grow wealth in savings accounts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And if you do, most, like, if you put, like, in certain, like, certain types of accounts, like, what do you call it, Roth IRAs and stuff like that, yeah. It's, like, at the most, maybe, like, 3%, maybe. Whereas, like, you could get much more than that if you would have put that same amount of money, you know, in some stocks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That could crash, but
it comes back.
You could pull that out, like, in any moment if you feel that, you know, scared about it.
When is that at its highest?
That 12 grand could be multiplied by 3, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, as opposed to just you investing a grand every month and then just sitting in that savings account, which, you know, maybe your car blows up, I don't know, and you buy a new car. I'm just saying, like, taking, like, more calculated risks and, like, with finances and stuff like that, I think is important. And it's funny because my little homie is somebody that's really, like, been just saying, putting a lot of information out there about it, like, or, you know, talking to me about it too, just, like, saying certain things. I'm like, dang, bro, it's good, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think creatives just have to really, like, understand that they, off-rip, you're not going to be, like, that dude usually, you know what I'm saying, unless you go viral or something. And even then, you know, how do you set yourself up to not just be successful for a moment or for 5 years, but for good, you know, to where you're able to take care of more than just yourself. And that's, again, like, where people are just thinking about that first level versus, like, you know, self-realization of, man, my life is bigger than me. If I want to have kids at some point, like,
mm-hmm.
if I want to have a wife or husband or whatever at some point, like, I got to start thinking about other things too, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Versus just, like, just me. If you want to just be you, live for you your whole life, cool. That's going to be really empty, in my opinion. You know?
Lonely.
It's going to be empty. I'm not saying you got to be married or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, it's going to be really empty, like, I want to know that I left something in the earth when I leave, you know what I mean? I want to know I planted some seeds, like, whether that be physically, like, of children or whatever, like, or planted some ideologies that changed the world, you know what I mean? Like, I want to leave here knowing that I emptied my cup, so to speak.
Speaking of seeds, you're trying to plant your seeds in...
Wow.
And
wow, bro.
Just playing.
You're a trip, bro.
I know.
Speaking of seeds. Stupid, bro. Dumb, but nah. So yeah, man. I think you gotta live outside of self, man. A lot of people don't want to hear that because they're like, "Well, I want to get my career in order before I have kids, or I want to get my career in order before I do this." I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, even along that way, like, are you only living for self? Like I said, a doctor, bro, go to school for a long time. But I wonder how many doctors love people, bro. Does the pharmaceutical industry love people? Ooh, another topic, but we won't have to push that.
I've had conversations with they understand there's evils in lots of the companies.
That's why purpose matters, bro.
Oh, yeah, big purpose. Now more than ever.
Purpose
now.
Is what separates.
You will get exposed with the internet now. You know, not... Things reach faster.
Or protected.
Wait, yeah.
Depending on how high you are in the totem pole.
So I'm going to pause this thing real quick. Okay, we're back. All right, man. Well, look, let's try to wrap this thing up, I guess. One last final thoughts.
Mm.
What do you... Okay, actually, no. What do you think we can do right now, personally? What's your advice for just like the audience? What's your advice for your like, if you go back and talk to your younger self, you know, like, what kind of things would you say?
Honestly, I would.
Because people are in our 20s, you know.
Yeah.
Us in our 20s, we're like figuring it out too, you know.
I'd probably tell my younger self, honestly, to. That's always an interesting question. I would definitely tell my younger self to not be afraid. Not be afraid to use your voice. But also. To be more mindful of who you trust, why you trust them. To definitely live with other people in mind, you know what I'm saying? But to also be vulnerable too. I feel like one of the biggest things I remember because of some of the traumatic things I went through as a kid is that I was almost afraid. I was just afraid of everything, it seemed like, you know what I mean? My parents would come home. Like, I'd only eat, like, when my parents were gone, unless they cooked. It was weird, bro. There's, like, a lot of little habits that made me, like, afraid. Not even really thinking about it, you know? So I think, like, a lot of kids or even, you know, young adults are afraid of confronting a lot of things, you know? Things they've been through or traumas. But definitely, you gotta be in a position where you're willing to confront yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Confront yourself first. Learn and understand yourself first, and don't allow your emotions or things you've been through to become crutches for you, but allow them to empower you to empower others. You know what I mean? Because we all been through stuff, some more than others. But I feel like that's the most important thing, is being able to move past those things. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are so afraid of, like, confronting those things, those traumas, and confronting themselves, and unhealthy and toxic things that have come as a result, that they end up being that way into, like, their 30s and 40s and relationships and marriages, and it passed down to their kids. So
yeah.
definitely would tell myself to find somebody to talk to, you know what I'm saying, where you can really confront those demons, so to speak, so that you're not living with them for a good portion of your life, you know what I'm saying? So you're really living. You're not, like, playing catch-up.
Right. That's really good.
It's crazy to think, like, dang, I could be a 25, 26, 27 and have a 12-year-old habit that I had because I didn't confront this part of myself.
Yeah. I mean, besides, I mean, that's actually really damn good advice, actually.
Yeah.
And eat your vegetables.
Yo, eat your vegetables,
mm-hmm.
yo.
And your fruit, man.
Yeah, my parents used to force me to eat vegetables, and I'm so glad they did.
Dude, they're essential.
They didn't force me, but you know what I'm saying? They always put a vegetable on the plate. And I appreciate that. Good talk.
Facts.
I really do, bro. But,
Lots of a healthy lifestyle comes from, you know, sustenance, ourselves. So,
I mean, sustenance.
Sustenance.
You know what I'm saying?
So what we eat, you know, I mean, lots of people feel crappy because they don't eat the right things, you know?
Hey, I've been guilty of that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I make attempts. I feel like my biggest thing is I need to just be more intentional about, like, cooking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I could, personally, I could eat the same things for a long time just because I know they're good for me.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to do that, so. I don't want to cook it. But cooking is actually very therapeutic for me. There's just other things that have been therapeutic in its place, I feel like. You know, like dance and stuff like that, so I feel like sometimes I...
You'd rather dance than
put
cook.
That to the side. I mean, yeah. But that's the thing, is I'd be stupid hungry after.
Yep.
But not be trying to cook.
Yeah. You feel me? Because it takes time.
It takes energy.
Yeah.
So I've already, like, done my therapy for the day, you know. Now it's just like I just want to eat and take a hot shower and sleep. And it's cold now, too, so I don't be wanting to do nothing, bro. When it gets cold, I am useless.
It is.
I am useless, bro. I don't want to go nowhere.
Nah.
Bro, home is the sanctuary, bro. Home and hot showers and hot chocolate. You can get me out the house with some hot chocolate when it's cold, though. That's a fact. If you ever want to kick it with me and it's cold, just be like, yo, Devon, you trying to get hot chocolate? I'm like, yes, absolutely. Anything else, though, I'll probably just stay in the house.
Noted. All right, hot chocolate. Get Devon out the house.
In the cold. Only when it's cold, though.
But how fast, though? Because, you know, you be taking, like, forever,
hey,
too.
Hey, listen. You feel me? Life could be over, you know, the next day. So I just want to savor my moments. You feel me? I want to savor getting ready.
Oh, my God.
Nah, that's something I've been trying to work on, too. Honestly. It's being timely. Because sometimes, I think it just depends on what you value. And I'm like, dang, I need to, like, really. And I do value my time, but I be chilling, though. I will take my time getting there, so.
I know. I do. I'm similar, though. But I think you got me beat. I think,
I probably do.
I think so. But I have that similar problem, for sure. Because you be savoring every moment.
I be like, bro, I'm about to invest my time in your joint. I don't got to be there on time, do I? No.
What the? What kind of
I can show up late, you feel me?
No.
I can show up a little late.
A little late.
Function. Especially like parties and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm not about to be there when the party starts.
That's different.
But there are, yeah, that does not need to be applied to everything.
How you do one thing is how you can do, as how you potentially do everything. Yeah.
Facts.
So.
I came in front.
We ain't all perfect.
Nah.
But hey, man. I appreciate you.
Man, my pleasure, bro.
We're going to do this again?
My pleasure, bro.
We will. We will do this again.
My pleasure.
In case you all didn't know.
You know how people be like, yo, follow me.
Follow
me on all my social media platforms.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to be a social media influencer. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's...
Hey, but if you could get paid to be an influencer right now.
I think I'd be tight.
You see? Like, you would do it.
I feel like I'd be super tight.
Hell yeah.
But, like, that's not really, like... I wouldn't go out of my way to make that happen, per se. I feel like people go out of their way to become influencers, and it's like, for what?
Okay,
just for validation or what?
Okay, yeah. So, we gotta see what motivates people, right?
I don't want no social media validation just because.
So then, like, all right, let's talk about, real quick, I already talked about the last subject. Actually, you got me interested now. What actually motivates you?
What motivates me, bro?
Yeah, like,
purpose, bro.
Okay.
If there's no purpose, I don't really give a F, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no purpose to it. Like, I said, if somebody's like, I know that I don't like being cold, right?
You don't like being cold?
I don't like being cold. I hate being cold, right? So, in the wintertime, that's why I said, like, if somebody's like, Devon, like, you want to go get hot chocolate? To me, that's purposeful. Because if I'm about to get my clothes on to leave the house in a season where I don't like to really be out the house like that, hot chocolate's purposeful. And it depends on the individual as well.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of conversation am I going to have with this individual? Is it just going to be like... Because then maybe I'll just not go. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's not like kind of like a smaller thing, but... I feel like, kind of like you were saying, like, how you do the small things applies to how you do the bigger things. That's how I am. Like, if it's not purposeful, I don't see it being purposeful, then 9 times out of 10, I probably won't, like, really engage. You know what I mean? So, but that also depends on what you value, and I feel like sometimes you got to shift that, too. Like, I need to make sure I value other people's time more sometimes, because I value my own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, same.
And I should want that. I should want to return that to people if I, in turn, would want that.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's why we're kind of friends. We have that similar issue with the timeliness.
Yeah. You feel me?
Me and E-Man, too.
I can see
E-Man, too.
Yo, I can see E-Man in the mirror for 45 minutes just dancing. Ain't even put a shirt on yet.
Right now, he's got me beat, too.
And then you hit him up, and you be like, bro, where you at?
He won't.
Down the street.
I don't know if he'll ever.
But he in the mirror dancing.
Or recording himself on his IG to some song that he's trying to tell you that slaps. And he ain't going to say nothing about it, but he going to show you. Like,
yeah, he definitely going to show you. And lick his lips, too. Because he think he cute.
Yo, E.
Pause.
How you been, E? We know you listening, E. I'll see you soon. Happy birthday, by the way. His birthday was...
Oh, it's, when?
His birthday was like 2 weeks ago.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's the homie, man. He's cool people, bro.
I know.
I should have came up here and did... that basketball tournament. I think I'm gonna do it next year though.
It's all good. I mean, he's still working on his thing. He plays almost every day.
I lightly tore this meniscus.
Lightly.
In this ligament. So.
Is that for the sole?
I'd have to play. Yeah. So jeez. I'd have to play. Stupid like. I tried running a little bit and playing football the other day. It's like a little bit. And my knee was like, bro. I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't, you know, accelerate like I would like. You feel me?
Yeah, feel me.
But by next year, I feel like it should be straight. Like 100% straight.
Okay. We'll have to try to make it happen. He works always on the weekends.
That grind, bro.
I know. And he's in pharmacy school. So
he's about to be a pharmaceutical tech.
Yeah, I think he wants
or
to be a
pharmacist.
Yeah.
Oh, with the cyst.
The cyst.
RX.
He wants to be a doctor. Of pharmacy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, all my friends want to be... Three of them want to be... Are in the medical field. And then you have... Some in law enforcement, some in social work. Some in the military, like... Just, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then you have, like, me being the creative one. That wants to do creative shit. And then I have you.
Hey, bro.
You know? Like, and Mikey and all that stuff. I have so many, like... I mean, my circle's small... But I'm always asking why am I friends with these guys a lot of the times. So it just kind of when I ask them to like yo why are we friends? Why do you think we are friends? Me and you. I like how I thought I was gonna end it, but I'm not ending it right now.
Honestly, if I had to like prioritize the whys, I would say number one. Number one is just a how do I put it? Number one, I feel like you are a person of purpose. So, I feel like depth.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of people that are close to me are people of depth. I don't really have a lot of people close to me that aren't.
Yeah.
So. I think that would be, like, number one. And I feel like there's been moments where you've shown, like, what true friendship, you know, brotherhood looks like. Like, I remember, like, because I remember the small things. I remember, like, you, when I moved, you know what I'm saying? You drove, you got your truck, you know what I'm saying? My mattress got frozen.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we drove all the way.
It rained.
Yeah, like, of course it rained, you know what I'm saying?
When you prayed it wouldn't.
Yeah, like, please don't. And of course it rained, like, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny that happened.
I was like, come on.
You're like, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. And
it didn't look like it was about to rain either, did it?
No.
Stupid sunny. Stupid sunny, bro. And then after it rained, it was stupid sunny again. But nah, I remember, like, little stuff, little things like that people do, you know what I'm saying? I value those things. I take those things into account.
Mm.
I'm an actions over words person. Actions will solidify like a lot for me. So, and I mean, I feel like every conversation we've had has been very, whether you've like just hit me up to like, you know, ask for advice or whatever. Like, I've always felt like everything we've talked about has been very growth oriented.
Yeah.
I want to grow like when I have conversations or stuff like that. So I feel like that's definitely you're a person of growth. Person of growth, a person of depth, and a person of purpose, and the things that you exhibit in friendship are legitimate. So yeah. Boom.
You know, interesting how you mentioned purpose for the very first like. It's so like I mean, the first thing you mentioned was purpose, and it's a lot of the times I feel like because I was listening to a podcast by Simon Sinek, an episode. By Simon Sinek about his when you ask your friends why are we friends, they'll essentially start talking about themselves. you know, because you see parts of yourself in me as well, because we share similar stuff, right? Similar mentality or whatever, the things, all the stuff that you named,
right?
And it's mindful, like, that you're, it's mindfulness, you know, that I'm mindful of the same things that you're mindful about, and that's why we share the same kind of vibe and energy, you know. It is an interesting, because you don't mesh with everybody.
Bro, I don't mesh with a lot of people. You know that. Like, a lot of people do not F with me, and I do not F with them. And it's very clear. Like, I don't change that, you know what I'm saying? And I don't, like, and it don't bother me. Like, you're, like, the nicer, more pure version of me in the past. Like, if I was you in the past, like, yeah, like, because me, like, now, it's not that I'm not nice. I just don't really, like, care to entertain the BS like that. So people take that as, like, oh, he mean. Or just, like, no, I'm not mean. I just don't really F with you because, you know what I'm saying? So I don't hate people. I just really have to, like, I really observe people. And it's, like, if I don't want that.
I feel like you're less tolerant.
That effery around me. I mean, I'm tolerant depending on the circumstances. I think circumstances really matter for me, and, like, how tolerant I am with certain things.
Yeah.
But some things it's just like, come on, bro. You know? But some things it's like, I have to really take a step back and be like, okay. Yeah, I just don't want everybody around me like that, and I'm very, very particular about who is.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, people that have crossed me in, like, a weird, like, super weird whack way, like, it takes me some time to even warm up to that again, because it's like, yo, you did some real whack stuff. I don't really know if I can trust how you move. You know what I mean? I'm very, very particular about how people move.
Yeah.
So
that's, actions.
Yeah, bro, you move a certain way. Like, to me, it says a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah, completely.
You know what I mean? If there's certain things you would do behind your homie's back, or do this or do that. Like, it says a lot about how you would probably move, like, just in general. You know what I'm saying? Could I give you $1,000 and know you wouldn't, like, you know what I mean? I don't know, I just think about stuff like that. So yeah. You're definitely, like, the nicer version of me. You're more like the more of like the like, maybe it's this. I'm like, no, it's not, bro. It's not that. This is actually what it is. Like, that's me. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, like, if you look at this pattern right here, this is really what it is. You're like, well, maybe, no. I've been watching them, bro. Like, you know, that's me. You know what I'm saying? So, and sometimes I have to correct. There are times where I've had to correct myself, too. You know what I mean? But for the most part, I'm pretty accurate when it comes to people. So,
I think a lot of times I try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I will for a certain point in time.
Because I'm pretty tolerant.
But I feel like yours is a lot longer than mine.
Yeah, my tolerance.
At this point.
Right, maybe, yeah. I'm pretty tolerant. But I'm even I have a limit.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I'm very patient.
Yeah.
Like, with people. But I feel like certain things, when it comes to tolerance, there's certain things it's like, no. It's just like, almost like, you know, some people are like, yeah, if somebody cheated on me, I could probably, like, work through it. And some people are like, no, that's a freaking absolutely no. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you're saying you would? You could?
I did. I mean, I did once. But it was super challenging. I don't know if I'd do it again. I probably could do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just saying, like, I'm just using that example to say, like, some people, like, yeah, like, I could totally, like, maybe forgive and work through this. And some people are just like, absolutely not. You know, it's just, like, depending on, depends on what, like, you kind of hold important to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's certain things I hold important. I'm just like, I watch it happen a couple of times. Like, nah, I've been watching how you move, and we're probably not going to be that close, you know. Don't mean I hate you. I just recognize certain things that aren't going to gel well with me, personally. I'll be on your head all the time, and you don't want that. So, let's just not be friends. Let's just be cool.
I'll be up in your head.
I'll be on your head, boy. So, yeah. People are great, though, man. Overall.
It's important to understand the friendships that you have.
It's important to understand what you consider friendship.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll put expectations on people that don't belong.
I What were you like, Evan, when you were my age? Exactly.
Man, how old are you exactly?
24.
I was a freaking buffoon, bro.
A buffoon, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's why when you ask the younger self question, you know, I mentioned really telling myself to, like, you know, talk to somebody, be open with somebody so you can get over a lot of this stuff, you know, get past a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
That can hinder you later on in how you have relationships. I was at a level of extremity where if somebody even did a little thing to me that hurt me, I'll cut them off immediately, bro. Like, now it's like, you gotta hurt me a couple times before I'll, like, really cut you off. But, like, I used to be like that, you know what I'm saying? Because I got to this point where I was finally starting to kind of come out of that show and, like, kind of trust people and kind of be vulnerable. And when people do something, one thing, I'd be like, bye, you know? So, but that affected me early on, I feel like, in my relationships. Sarcasm, I was very, very sarcastic, like, to a, like, very, like, almost hurtfully sarcastic as a defense mechanism.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? But I was witty, so it was like my, smokescreen, you know, to really deflect anything that could hurt me. You know what I mean? So I was very like.
You're good with your words.
Huh?
You're pretty good with your words. Were you also? You've been like that?
Well, I used to when I was a kid, because I didn't really talk much. I was writing all the time. I was always listening to like. The Jay-Z's and the Kanye West, Mos Def, Lupe Fiasco, like, Souls of Mischief, like, the J. Cole's, like...
Common?
Yeah, I was a big Common fan. Like, you know, I was listening to all this hip-hop and stuff like that because that was... I didn't even just listen to hip-hop, though. I listened to a lot of alternative, a lot of indie. There's a lot of different phases I went through that I feel like when I was doing music and stuff, it just kind of... the way I processed things was a little different because I listened to all these different... things, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it kind of it colored my brain different. And I obviously get grounded all the time too when I was a kid, so I was always reading books. Because I felt like because I would literally time my groundings by like, all right, if I get this book, it'll probably take me like a week to read it. So, you know, that's literally what I would do. So I feel like all those things combined kind of like, and then I wrote all the time because I didn't talk, you know, so. Really talk, trust my parents or anybody. So that's like what I would do. So I feel like over time it kind of formulated into that. And my parents are both very articulate people as well. So I think that played a part in it also.
Being good with communicating.
I wasn't always a good communicator though.
Oh.
Because of
a lot of things. Words.
Because a lot of things I said her happened early on until I got to the point where I started being more open and more vulnerable and learning like how to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to confront things, stuff like that. It took, like, I had to, like, relearn it. It was almost like, because I didn't learn it as a kid.
Yeah.
And early, as in my early 20s, you know what I'm saying? So it took me a while, bro. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I still catch myself, like, having to apologize for certain things, you know, to people.
Someone's always going
to... But even doing that is a big deal. Like, being able to, like, acknowledge that you are the one that could do better and improve. A lot of people don't want to do that even. But a lot of that comes from childhood and childhood experiences and the ways you were raised. Or things that your parents did to you. I remember my mom, I think I was about your age when it happened. Like, I remember my mom and we were having a conversation and she would always cut me off. I didn't realize it until like, I was like, yo, I don't like being cut off. Like, I want to finish my thought. I'll let you finish your thoughts. Why would you cut me off? So I remember one time my mother was talking, or I was talking. She asked me a question. I was answering. And she cut me off. I was like, Mom, stop. I had to like, I got like a little like bass in my voice. Like, Mom, stop cutting me off. Like, you always cut me off and I'm trying to talk to you. This is why I don't talk. You know what I'm saying? And in that moment, like looking back, I'm like, oh, I realized like I didn't like being cut off. I didn't like feeling like what I felt were not valued.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't come out. It came out in frustration, though, later on.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, oh, shoot, like, I'm sorry. And not now. My mom does not do that.
Right.
Like, it's crazy, like, all these years later, like, she doesn't, like, cut people off. And she'll apologize if she does.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. my mom would do the same stuff.
Yeah. And I had to, like, literally tell my mom, like, Mom, do not cut me off anymore. Like, I don't like being cut off.
No.
You wouldn't like being cut off, so stop cutting me off.
Mm-hmm.
And it came across that way. But, I mean, I was an adult at that point. It wasn't like I was trying to be disrespectful. It was just like, yo, like, stop.
Yeah.
I want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking me a question. Why would you cut me? Like, you know, kind of thing. But it was dope that, like, she learned from it and I learned from it too, that moment. So I definitely think, like, that's important.
We're always students.
If you ever stop having questions and you stop growing and stop learning, you are missing life. You're not living it.
Yeah.
Dead mind. You should always be a student.
Always.
Of self and life.
Keep watering the plant, man.
The way you said, yo, people can see your face right now. How you said that. Water the plant, man.
Keep watering the plant, man.
All right, Bill Nye.
Keep feeding the geese.
Wow. Hey, bro, I'm actually really hungry now.
Oh, yeah? What did you...
That soup fired me up.
Yeah? You trying to eat?
Yeah.
What are you trying to eat now?
I don't know. We got to finish this podcast up, bro.
All right, let's wrap.
People, lovely people.
Are you
out there?
Yeah.
That are tuning in and listening. Appreciate you.
All of you.
We've probably been going on for like 2 hours at least.
Almost an hour and a half, actually.
Oh, solid. That's a good solid podcast.
I would say so.
An hour and a half.
With the...
Hope y'all enjoyed it.
Short Call of Duty break and short bathroom break.
Hope y'all enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Appreciate my boy, Alex.
Appreciate you, man.
Punyavong, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Kyria George.
That's right. Keep feeding the geese.
Hollin' at me, man. It's always a good time talking to you, dog.
Mm-hmm. Till next time, bro.
Till next time, man.
Oh, man, y'all be... Stay up, you know?
Stay curious.
Always. Talk to y'all soon. And we out.